The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
When Jesus says that we need to abide, does that mean the same thing as believe? Well, that's what we're going to explore in today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. So currently, we're taking questions from listeners just like you. If you've got questions, you can send them to us through email, radio@faithalone.org. Now, as we explore today's topic, we're going to look at some passages from John and Romans. And fortunately, Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar are in the studio ready to discuss these important passages. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, thanks for tuning in to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean.
Hi, I'm Bob.
And we're taking our Q&As now. We're getting back into the Q&A season.
I like the Q&A season.
Well, you know, we are writing a book that we hope to be ready by summer 2021.
Really?
Yeah, we're thinking Doctrine for Disciples. And we'll probably do a podcast series about that.
That'd be good.
When it comes up. But for now, we'll do Q&A. Here is one from Ron. And Ron asks, is abide synonymous with believing? If so, can you be an unabider like an unbeliever? And does that mean you're going to go to hell?
The word for abide is meno in Greek. It means to abide, to remain, that sort of thing, to stay with. And it's a different concept than believing. To believe in the Lord Jesus Christ is to be convinced or persuaded that he guarantees me that I will be with him forever simply by my faith in him.
Yeah.
However, to abide in him means to continue to walk with him, to stay with him in my daily fellowship. That's a completely different concept. And so abiding is not synonymous with believing, and a believer may or may not abide. And we see that, for example, in the Upper Room Discourse, John chapters 13 through 16.
Yeah.
And we also see it in 1 John,
Yeah. Because
1 John's all about abiding. There's a lot about abiding in 1 John.
So is abiding basically putting Bible doctrine into practice? Is it,
yes.
Is it not just being a hearer, but being a doer of the
right,
word?
He's right.
James's
yes.
terminology. So believing is how you're born again.
Right.
And abiding is more of a Christian growth term for John.
Right. Now, of course, Jesus said, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, then you will be my disciples. Or, for example, let's look at John 8, verses 30 to 32, which admittedly is a potential problem passage for people who think that all believers abide. But I think this verse actually proves that all believers don't abide. And it's pretty clear on the point.
All right. It says, as he spoke these words, many believed in him. So we know from Scripture that many people believed in a saving way.
Right.
Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So they've believed. That's a fact. But their abiding is potential.
Exactly. And you'll notice, as you already pointed out, that in verse 30, it says, as he spoke these words, many believed in him. That's pistuo eis auton in Greek, the exact same thing we find in John 3:16,
mm-hmm.
where we're told whoever does this, whoever believes in him, has everlasting life.
Right.
So we know the people in verse 30 have everlasting life. But then he said to those same people, the ones who believed him, if you abide, that's the meno word,
yeah.
in my word, you are my disciples indeed.
Mm.
So a disciple is a learner. In a loose sense, we might call a disciple a follower, but it's particularly the Greek word for learning, being tutored by, being mentored by. And so if you abide in Jesus' word, well, then you're being tutored by him. You're being mentored by him. You're being his disciple. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Yeah.
You know, that verse is used for everything, right? I mean, the truth will set you free was part of the civil rights movement.
Right.
But it's also a big part of politics and other things where people will say the truth will set you free. And it is a general principle that truth is liberating. But
right.
here specifically, what Jesus is saying is if we know the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, the truth that he teach, then we'll be set free from sin's bondage. And we know it's sin's bondage because of the verses which follow. Because the unbelievers in the crowd say that we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you shall be made free? And then Jesus answered and said, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. Well, that's bondage to sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed.
Right.
And this is basically the principle we see in Romans chapter 6, that when we come to faith in Christ, we're set free from bondage to sin in our position, but in order to be set free from bondage to sin in our experience, well, then we must reckon ourselves dead to sin.
Right.
And we must yield our members to God as instruments of righteousness. Basically, in a nutshell, what Jesus is teaching here is discipleship as abiding in his word.
Right, and the goal is to no longer be slaves of sin in your experience.
Right. So coming back to what you said earlier, abiding is not exactly obeying. Abiding results in obeying. Abiding is remaining in his teaching, remaining in his truth, and that in turn changes our thinking.
Right.
And that in turn changes our behavior. You know, Romans 12:2, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
So abiding isn't renewing your mind. Renewing your mind results from abiding. Is that what
right.
you're saying?
In the New Testament model, it's primarily being in a local assembly that is teaching the word of God clearly.
Mm-hmm.
And as you're in that assembly, then you have older believers who are teaching in that assembly, in that church. They are guiding you to have the mind of Christ, what Paul calls the mind of Christ in 1 Corinthians 2:16. They're
right.
leading you to maturity.
Right.
If you're not in a local church, well, you have a handicap. Now, of course, part of the blessing and curse today is that people can get lots of Bible teaching without being in an actual church.
Right.
So, I mean, they can listen to our podcast instead of going to church. We don't recommend that. We don't want that.
Right.
We want this to be a supplement to what you're getting in the local church.
Yeah.
People can watch church on Zoom now, right?
Yeah.
Lots of people have gone that way.
Yeah.
And I get it for a while, but as a regular dose, we need people in front of us, face to face.
We need people who know your specific struggles, your specific situation. Was it Paul saying the older women should,
yes.
should disciple the younger women?
Yes.
They would know each other's situations. They would know how to apply God's word to someone's specific problem.
Absolutely. So the main way in which he's going to abide in Christ's word and to abide in Christ is to be in a local assembly where he's around mature believers who are teaching the word and modeling it.
Right.
According to Hebrews chapter 13, some of the people who had taught the Hebrew believers had already gone on to be with the Lord. And he says, remember them and remember their example.
Right,
because
right.
other believers model Christ to us.
I guess there's also a danger that if you're in a church that doesn't believe the word of God, that maybe teaches contrary to the word of God, and they're just filling people's minds with really the world, not the word. You wouldn't be abiding. That would hinder you from abiding in Christ's teaching, right?
That would absolutely. It could actually not only hinder it, but it could actually put us in a position where we were gradually drifting away.
Right. Instead of transforming your mind, it would be deforming your mind.
Yeah, I like
which
that.
Would then result.
Well, I don't like that, but I mean the
but
term.
But you like the term. But then,
write a blog on that.
I guess the reason why I think about that is I was just in a discussion with some people from much like a very liberal, very quote-unquote progressive churches. And to me, what they were talking about was basically accepting immorality as something normal. If you're in that type of environment, I think you need to leave. You need to separate yourself from a church that denies God's word or that teaches immorality, because you will not be abiding, and instead of escaping slavery to sin, it'll just put you even deeper into slavery.
That's
to
right.
sin.
And it reminds me, in Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, Paul talks about these false teachers. We've labeled them Judaizers, people who were teaching that in order to be justified and ultimately make it into Christ's kingdom, you not only had to believe in Christ, but you also had to be circumcised and keep the law of Moses. So they taught a form of works justification or works salvation.
Right.
Paul says, if anyone preaches any other gospel, let him be accursed.
Mm-hmm.
And what that means, some people understand that to be eternally condemned. I don't think that's what it's saying. Obviously, a believer is capable of being confused and teaching false doctrine. What I think it's saying is, treat that person as under God's curse, and so you would stay away from them. You don't go to a church like that, and you certainly don't give money to a church like that,
yeah.
And you don't give money to a ministry like that, because
yeah.
Then you're actually supporting false teaching.
Right. And what's interesting to me is what Jesus is presenting here and what John and John's gospel is presenting is very much a grace way of escaping slavery to sin, because it has to do with not the works that you need to create for yourself in order to escape slavery to sin. It's about abiding in his teaching, which begins with just simply believing what he says, right?
Absolutely. And you're abiding in believing.
Right.
Believing more and more of what God says as you understand more and more of what God says. And coming back to the original question, I would say it's vitally important that we realize that we are not keeping everlasting life by abiding in Christ.
Right,
the
right.
moment we believe in Christ, we are secure forever. Jesus said, he who lives and believes in me shall never die.
Mm-hmm.
That's John 11:26, and that's a promise of no spiritual death for the believer. He said they'll never hunger, you'll never thirst, John 6:35. He said you'll never perish, John 3:16. It's a done deal the moment you believe. Abiding is a discipleship principle. It's not a salvific principle. It's not a principle of whether we're born again.
Well, amen. Thank you for those thoughts, Bob. And Ron, I hope this encourages you to both believe in Jesus for everlasting life and to abide in his teaching so that you can escape slavery from sin. If you want to learn more about that, I'd recommend you pick up a copy of Zane Hodges' Romans, Deliverance from Wrath, which specifically chapters 6 to 8, which also explains how you can escape slavery to sin if you're...
Right, absolutely.
Right.
And we have a number of e-books that help on this subject.
Yes, that's right. They are free, and you can find them at faithalone.org. We'll see you guys next time. Take care.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Maybe you'd like to go deeper on the subjects that we cover in this show. And if that's the case, we would love for you to come visit us at our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have free magazine subscription. We have teaching videos, podcasts, blog posts, all kinds of free materials that are designed to help you grow and mature in your understanding of Scripture and faith. So come visit us at faithalone.org, faithalone.org. This show and all of our ministries are made possible from the generous donations of listeners just like you. I hope that you might consider becoming a financial partner with the Grace Evangelical Society. If so, you can find out how on faithalone.org. We love to hear from listeners just like you. Maybe you've got a question or a comment or some feedback. If you do, we want to hear from you. So here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about how to know if something is false teaching. So join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.